Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hey, welcome to another little amuse-bouche of Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and I've got to share with you, I am so absolutely thrilled. I am beyond thrilled. I am deeply honored to have our next guest on the program. He's amazing. He's inimitable. He is the one and only Josh Talley. He is not just a top political talk show host, but one of the top radio talk show hosts in the country. Delighted to have him here. I'm going to be taking notes while he's dispensing information on how to do this just superbly. He's also an author, a number of books. His latest book is Evangelopreneur. If you don't have it, you need to get out there and get about 6 copies or so, because there's always a wedding, a bar mitzvah, or a birthday, and this book is great for everyone. Everyone needs several copies. He's one of the top 100 business instructors, so I just feel really fortunate that we could get him between his jaunts all over the country and between his daily radio show. So I hope you'll give a warm entree welcome to my next guest, Mr. Josh Talley. Josh, thanks for being on the program today.
Dr. Mike, thank you so much for this honor. I'm so glad to see you doing this show and the information you're going to be dispensing to people. Man, it's so encouraging because I know the heart and the passion and the education that you put into this, and it's just an honor to be here with you, sir.
Well, it is, and you and I have had the privilege to chat before, and I'm so glad we have you for the show, which is, you know, kind of the politics of food, because these health guidelines were just released in 2015, and so, you know, politics is your forte, but people don't often think about politics and food. Do you run across that a lot when you're talking about, you know, the politics in general?
Oh, all the time. You know, I think I first started noticing it when they told us that eggs were good for you, and then eggs were bad for you, and then egg whites were good for you, but yolks were bad for you, and then it's the incredible edible egg. And I just started saying, hey, wait a second, who's behind this? Because it's not the doctors that I knew that were changing their mind. It was something else. And that really got me looking at the political aspect of food. And, you know, even to the evil side, the dark side, Stalin knew this. Stalin said, control the food, control the people. So there's a massive connection between politics and food, so much so that if you look at former Monsanto employees who are now employed by the government as either lobbyists, judges, or whatever, it's amazing the correlation you find between politics and food. And I think it's time that the consumers of food, which would be all of us, start to recognize just how much politics is in that recipe.
You know, but one of the things I found is that when I try to bring this up and discuss it and bring it to open forums, even with other educators and lecturers and other folks who are involved in the food and health aspect, as I am, you know, it's often sort of the 600-pound grizzly bear in the room there that nobody really wants to talk about. You know, I have an MBA, and as you know, in medicine and healthcare, as well as the MD. And one of the interesting things about having that combination is that you get past that taboo in medicine that nobody wants to talk about money. Somehow that is a dirty subject. And you have to talk about it because there are expenses, there are things you can pay for, things you can't. There are limited resources. It's a whole complex, as we know, just in listening to both sides of the debate on Obamacare. But I find that politics and food tends to be that same sort of dirty topic that nobody wants to talk about. So where does the conversation start in your mind?
Well, you know, what's interesting about this is it's not that nobody wants to talk about it, because the politicians love to talk about it. It's just everybody else who doesn't want to talk about it. And it's kind of like, if you remember back to those old Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercials where there's a guy walking down the street with that open can of peanut butter for some reason, and then there's a woman walking down the street with an open but uneaten bar of chocolate, and somehow they meet each other. Well, it's that same sort of thing. Politicians love to get their politics in your food, and it's time we get our food into their politics. Because the reality is, that Michelle Obama, you know, right or wrong, I'm not going to give political sides, but Michelle Obama has had an impact on all of our children's school lunches. That has happened.
Correct.
It's something that's real. Obamacare has guidelines for food as well. So politicians
Absolutely.
Love getting involved in food. It's just on our side, we love to ignore reality. And that's one of the wonderful things about food, because that sense of taste and smell is so deeply rooted to that part of our brain where we can fantasize and dream, and our mouth waters just from smelling some of the stuff that you cook. We have a tendency to leave that logical side, the practical side, at the gate. And in reality, we need to realize that those two things are blended. For example, how many people know that the price of milk that you pay is not based on supply and demand? It's based on how far politically you are from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. That's what determines the price of milk. So even when our daily necessities need to be met, politics is all over our food.
Well, yeah, it is. And to continue kind of on the dairy theme, you know, that was one of the big sticking points that was in the guidelines. You know, a lot of experts say, well, you know, there were continued in these guidelines recommendations for low fat, fat free type dairy products and as part of a healthful approach to food. And yet, when we look at the data, what we see is that when we're looking towards benefit, and I'm going to take kind of dairy as a whole, because we could do a whole segment, and we probably will down the road, on dairy, the difference between kind of fresh dairy and fermented dairy products, because there is a huge difference. But certainly the whole food aspect, the whole dairy, seems to confer some benefit. Whereas we may not see that with these artificial flavored, low fat, you know, sort of manipulated, adulterated foods. And,
sure.
You know, again, that was kind of a point of contention that, as you were saying, the dairy lobby, you know, has a lot of input in there. And also what I think what folks need to realize is that food manufacturers love to fractionate us. And I don't mean like our LDL. I mean, they like to give us multiple choices. So if I can sell you whole milk, because Josh, you're a whole milk kind of guy, you like it, you know, pure, fresh, and you like the whole thing, and there's somebody concerned about their weight, so I'm going to play on their fear of fat and calories, which, by the way, is totally unjustified. You need to pick up a copy of The Fallacy of the Calorie and get that squared away. But I'm going to play on those fears and sell them the fat-free milk. And then there's people in the middle that don't just know what to do, so we'll sell them the low fat, you know, 2%, that's kind of sort of in between for people who can't make up their mind. You know, I've just taken up a huge chunk of shelf space in your supermarket, and I could charge you more for the specialty items.
Well, not only that, you bring up a really interesting point when it comes to dairy, and I just want to second what you said about everybody should get Fallacy of the Calorie. I think that's required reading for anybody who's going to put food in their mouth again.
But, all right, you're back again next week.
But really, I mean, you bring up dairy, and, you know, I am the political guy, and I have broadcast shows from trials that were going after Amish people. Amish people. One comes to mind, Hirschberger in Baraboo, Wisconsin. I broadcast from his trial because here he was just trying to do what people have done for thousands of years and drink raw milk. Well, the big dairy lobby had so much hubbub about that, and they have so much political power that the attorney general for the state was the prosecuting attorney, not some
Holy
staffer
cow.
Or regional DA. Like, it was such a big deal to go after this one Amish guy that the attorney general for the entire state was the prosecuting attorney. So to say that politics is not involved in food, I think it's time more doctors and health professionals, everybody, realizes that we need to control politics just like we need to control our personal economy, and those things always affect our food.
Well, you know, and you and I have spoken before how your personal economy, your personal wealth, and your health go hand in hand. I mean, this is, you know, sort of a fundamental right-hand, left-hand approach to really, I think, taking control of your life and your well-being, because, you know, and I know we're getting off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I think it's important to mention, you know, people often say, well, you know, you can't buy your health, but to an extent you can, because if you can buy the organic vegetables. If you can afford that grass-fed beef, and there are ways to do it economically, so I'm not saying you have to, you know, self-fund like and have a Trump like a bank account to do that. So there are economical approaches. But on the surface, it, you know, it does cost more, does take a little bit more effort. But those things do translate into better health. You know, and in the newsletter we sent out, and folks, you know, if you want to know what's happening on the show, get the culinary CPR recipes ahead of time, make sure you go to cardiochef.com, sign up for the newsletter. You would have known all about Josh and the things we're talking about. It comes out before the show each week. You know, we talk about, you know, how you know, having that health and the wealth and that ability to make those choices. One study showed that up to about 70% of heart attacks may be able to be prevented through proper dietary choices. That is way more than any kind of medication I can give you.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because in health overall, not just dietary health, but when I do a business seminar, I talk about the importance of employment and income and stuff. And one of the stats that we put in there is that if you are unemployed, you are 50% more likely to commit suicide. So even, wow. I mean, talk about a direct correlation between income and health. I mean, what's the opposite of perfect health is dead. So, while there's these connections, it's kind of like, we all remember the food pyramid, and I'm sure, you know, you have an opinion on it, but we all remember it, right?
We all have nightmares about it, yeah.
But we all remember that building block sort of look, right? And there's breads over here, and there's dairies over here. Well, your food, your whole health system is a mix of things. One of those pieces should be food. Then another one of those pieces to good health is money. Then another piece is politics. Another piece is relationships. And just like a recipe, I mean, I learned this from being on your cooking show. Just like a recipe is not the elements in and of themselves, they just don't spontaneously get together. It's how they relate to each other and how they intermingle with each other that actually creates the recipe. And I think sometimes what happens is health-conscious people only focus on the food and the exercise, and they ignore the other part. So we have political heart attacks, or we have economic cancer, and it destroys our health without us even realizing it.
You know, I think it really does. And you actually brought up something I want to segue back to, which is the food pyramid. Because one of the interesting things, I've spoken about this before, is that the food pyramid, the old food pyramid, if you look at it, it actually tells us that we should be eating, you know, like 55% of our daily energy should come from carbohydrates. And when those recommendations came out, most of those were, you know, breads and rolls and refined carbohydrates. And we are still on that trajectory that was set really with a political agenda and not a, you know, a little bit of lobbying from, you know, the grain industry back then. Right. You just think about the common sense of it. They were telling us to eat more bread than even fruits and vegetables. You know, people talk about, oh, I'll get back to a plant-based diet. Well, you know, that isn't a loaf of white Wonder Bread. But, again, forgive the – well, actually, don't forgive the pun because I can't do one show without at least, you know, one good pun in it. But, you know, it's been inbred in us that, you know, we've got to have, you know, something like bread as part of a, quote, plant-based diet. No, it's not. No, it's not, folks. You know, that's the fruit and the vegetables. That should really form the basis if we want to get back to clean eating, wholesome eating, you know, the things that I promote in my speaking, in the books, etc. Certainly grains are a big part of that, but we don't want to go back to that pyramid, you know, that's laid on that layer of refined carbohydrates. That's what's run our ship aground and where we've been marooned for the last 50 years. And what drove that, you know, was really, really politics. And the other thing that drove us really in the wrong direction was fats and saturated fats. So I want to get your take as sort of a consumer, if you put the political hat aside, you know, what do you feel when you take the pulse of America? Are people still hung up on that?
Well, you know, what's interesting is, yes, I mean, people are definitely carb heavy. They're still bread heavy. And just through education alone, it's not enough. It has to become something that's actionable. I remember I went to the largest farmer-produced farmer's market in the country. And this was shortly after, you know, big movies came out like Farmageddon and Food, Inc. and all that. You know, there's a whole plethora of we need to get our health back sort of movies. And I'm asking these farmers that have been in part of this farmer's market forever, I said, hey, have you seen an uptick of actionable purchases? Like, are more people purchasing more or no? And he said no, because the reality is we're so indoctrinated with quick, easy, what can I get, that farmers' markets have become more of like novelty shopping. Nobody goes there to get 2 weeks' worth of groceries. Notice how you go to a farmer's market and there's no grocery cart. It's people carrying maybe one half of a bag. And, you know, hey, I got some fresh lettuce and we feel good for a minute. And, you know, I got an organic chicken and that's awesome. And we, you know, brag to our friends, well, I bought an organic chicken. But we're really not seeing that substantial change where you have a mother with four kids loading up the back of an SUV full of stuff she just got at the farmer's market. So you're right. You're absolutely right. And it's because of that lobby.
And you know, and I think we do and need, and there is a, you know, grassroots movement. And what's really fascinating to me is, you know, having a foot in the culinary world, having a foot in the medical world, you know, I think I've got a fair viewpoint, and I've got to give credit for the grassroots movement where people are finally, you know, at least going to the farmer's market. They're starting to take some stuff home. Maybe they're cooking those wholesome fresh meals. You know, it's not every day because they work 5 days a week, but on the weekends, right, and Friday, they're splurging. So we're making inroads in there, but it's not due to your point because nutritionists went out and educated people. It's not because doctors, you know, showed them how to do it in an office. It's not because they got a great meal in the hospital, by golly, because I have yet to see that happen. You know, it came about because of tens of thousands of young chefs getting out there and saying, hey, you know what? We want stuff that tastes great. And the food that tastes great is not the processed junk that's coming off the delivery truck, you know, every Wednesday from with a fish that was farmed somewhere in China 4 days ago. It was filleted and vacuum sealed. You know, it's about what was caught out of, you know, the Gulf of Mexico yesterday. It's about that bison that was free range, you know, 2 days ago. It's about, you know, these pea shoots that just came out of the greenhouse. They're vibrant. They've got texture. They got flavor. It just so happened that that's the kind of food our bodies are exactly built to respond to.
Well, and, you know, that's a perfect way to tie it right back into the politics, too, because when we see those things happen, we also see politics rear its ugly head. Like, you see these grower co-ops where you meet in a parking lot, and everybody, you know, hands out the food that they bought from the farmers. Well, then the USDA will come in and say, well, that's not a proper truck. You're banned.
Right.
Or you see these farm-to-table restaurants, like I think it was in Nevada or New Mexico. This farm-to-table restaurant, USDA shows up with bleach, pours bleach over all the food. You guys weren't going through, you know, an approved facilitator. You can't go from ground to table. It has to go from ground to ammonia to a processing warehouse. What? Then to a retailer, then to a table. And even go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, it's ridiculous because people have been eating this absolutely delicious kind of French cheese for hundreds, if not thousands of years. But we can't eat it in the States because it's aged, you know, like 45 days, not, you know, 50 days or, you know, something ridiculous like that. And, you know, this is what we've got to get past. And, you know, folks, I urge you to get some information, get involved in the politics of food, know what your representatives are voting for. They passed a law that's going to make it difficult for our friends who grow the GMO free food and organic foods and stuff for us. It's going to make it real difficult for them to get by. So, you know, stay in touch with the politics. Hey, I want you to also stop by joshtolley.com. Check out his site. Josh, I want to thank you for being on the show today. We're going to have you back, man. It was just incredible. What a tasty bit.